We're starting a new sermon series today called Tell Me Something Good, Grounding Ourselves in the Good News. Throughout these weeks, we will return to what was central in Jesus' ministry and his mission, which was welcome and compassion, justice and mercy and grace, the kind of good news that we could all use right now. So as I was saying, our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, and it tells about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, a beginning different from all the other Gospels, a beginning where Jesus takes the ordinary and does something extraordinary to keep that celebration going. So listen for these words from John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The Greek is translated into English this way. Listen for God's word for you this morning. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it. And when the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, that person called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we had already made that trip down to the well more times than I could count. Back and forth and back and forth. The wedding had been going on for days, laughter and music and dancing in the courtyard. And then a whisper started moving through the servants before anybody else knew. They were running out of wine. You could see it in the host's face, the tight jaw, the short answers, the lack of any eye contact. We were already preparing for a quiet ending with guests drifting away early, musicians packing up, and the celebration dissolving in polite smiles. And then the rabbi from Nazareth spoke. Not to the host, not to the steward, to us. "Fill the jars with water." And we looked at those six stone jars, each one the size of a child's bath. These were meant for washing, not for wine. And the party was ending. Nobody needed more water. They needed more wine. But his mother was watching us. And the rabbi just stood there like he knew something that we didn't. So we carried the water up from the spring in the center of town, fill a small jar, walk it back up the hill, pour it in again and again and again. We complained under our breath, "Why now? Why so much? Why up to the brim?" And when the last jar was full, sweat running down our backs, we thought that we were finally done. And then the rabbi said something even stranger. He said, "Draw some water out and take it to the steward. Take wash water to the man in charge of wine." And we looked at each other, But we didn't know what else to do, so we did what he said anyway. And then the confusion. The steward calls the host over, and I overhear them saying, "Everyone serves the good wine first, the cheap wine later, but you have saved the best wine for last." And we stared into the ladle, and it was water when we filled it. We were certain of that. But the celebration erupted again, louder than before. Relief flooded the courtyard, the host laughing again, the couple beaming again, music resuming again, and across the room, the rabbi was smiling, not surprised, almost as if this was the point all along. We never saw when it changed, only that joy had returned. John calls this a sign because it shows how God works. Jesus could have created wine out of thin air, I suppose, but he didn't. He chose water, common, ordinary water, the same water drawn from that village spring every day. And he involved the servants, not the hosts, not the honored guests, not the religious folks. The miracle does not begin with power. It begins with participation. The servants do not understand. They do not see the result of their labor. They cannot predict its outcome. They simply bring what they have. And somewhere between their efforts and Christ's presence, water becomes wine. The prophet Isaiah imagined a day when God's future would look like a great feast, abundance overflowing, joy restored, the best wine finally served. And at Cana, Jesus doesn't talk about this promise. He quietly starts it. Not in a temple, not in a mountaintop, but at a village celebration that was about to fall apart. This is the pattern of God's kingdom. God does not wait for extraordinary materials. God transforms ordinary offerings. We bring the water, and God makes the wine. And once you see that pattern, you start noticing it everywhere. Every time ordinary faithfulness becomes unexpected joy. When we gather supplies and money for the congregation at Placetas, Cuba, it looks small from here. A donation, a bag of medicine, a short flight. But in Placetas, those ordinary gifts become healing, encouragement, and hope in the middle of scarcity and uncertainty. We carry water, and God makes wine. On Wednesday nights, people come to church after work, tired, ordinary people, not professional musicians, and rehearse together again and again and again in the chancel choir, in the Carolinaires Bell Choir, in our Cacophony Praise Band. And on Sunday morning worship, it is filled with the beauty that is larger than any individual voice. We carry the water, and God makes the wine. A simple youth dinner, food and conversation, becomes an invitation to belong. Students stay for worship, for Ash Wednesday, for mission trips, for friendship that forms faith. We carry the water, but God makes the wine. In preschool, children hear stories and sing songs and learn prayers, and they discover that they are loved by their teachers and by this church, and by God, long before they can ever say the word theology. We carry the water, and and God makes the wine. Over and over again, the miracle doesn't appear dramatic while it's happening. It looks like cooking, rehearsing, giving, teaching, just showing up. And it's only later that we realize that joy has appeared where we could not have manufactured it ourselves. This is how God always works. God does not wait for extraordinary materials. God begins with what people carry every day. The servants bring what they can. Christ makes it what they cannot. Faith does not mean knowing the outcome. Faith is carrying the water. Today, we have a meeting after worship where we will discuss our budget for 2026. And on paper, it looks like we may be running a little low. Budgets do what they always do. They measure what exists today. But they cannot measure what God is not finished doing. Cana is also a spreadsheet moment, if you will. The numbers were correct. The wine was running out. The conclusion was logical. The celebration would have to end early. But the servants were not asked to solve the shortage. They were asked to carry the water. And that's what matters for us. We are not called to manufacture a miracle. We are called to remain faithful in our work, to keep teaching children, to keep helping neighbors, to keep praying, to keep singing, to keep showing up for one another, to keep loving the community that God has entrusted to us. Because the church has never lived on stored wine. The church lives on carrying water, the living water of Christ. Sometimes the miracle is not visible when you're hauling those buckets up the hill. Sometimes it only becomes clear when you see the joy in someone else's life, a child discovering belonging, a grieving family that is comforted, a hungry neighbor that is fed, a faith that is rekindled. And that is when you realize somewhere between the well and the table, God changed the water, making the ordinary extraordinary. So when it feels like the party might fade, even when the numbers look thin, we keep carrying the water. Because our hope has never been in the size of our reserves. Our hope is in the one who turns ordinary offerings into abundant life. The servants left that night, still servants, but they knew something that no one else did. The celebration continued not because they had enough, but because Christ was present. So we bring what we have, we do the work that is given to us, trusting that Christ continues to make ordinary things extraordinary. We carry the water, and God makes the wine. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you meet us in ordinary places and everyday work, transforming our lives, our talents, our imperfect faith into hope and joy and peace. Give us the persistence and strength to keep carrying the water, trusting that you will make the wine, and that through the witness of our ordinary lives, your extraordinary love may be revealed. Grant us courage to remain faithful, patience to trust your timing, and hope to believe that new life is always beginning. Inspire and encourage us to trust that you will make more of our lives than we could possibly do on our own. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.